for those of you that are here today, this is the start of a brand new series. You excited?
Yeah.
Do you even know what the series is? It's called Common Ground, and it's a life recovery series. When we were teaching through Ephesians, Craig Johnson. This is Craig. Ooh, a whistle. You got a fox whistle, man. Sweet. Craig Johnson said, hey, you know, I've been praying about this recovery series and going through this stuff, and I think that this is something we might need to be looking into, and would you mind praying about it with me? And I was like, okay. And then he said, well, I want you to read a book. And I said, great. And he hands me this book called Bridges to Grace, and it's about being a recovery ministry. And what that sounds like, what is your first impression when you hear recovery ministry? Your car is a recovery ministry. AA meetings, right? Right, that's what I thought too. And I was just like, okay, I'll read this book, you know? And I read this book, and what I found was Whitewater matches up a lot with recovery ministry. Not necessarily in the AA portion of it. That is a portion of who we are and what we do. But as a whole, the common ground, all of us separated by our own wrong being with God, right? We fit that criteria. Some of us, you know, my thing was still can be pornography. Okay, that's gross, that's yucky, right? But your thing may not be pornography. You know, some people deal with drinking, some people deal with drugs. You know, let's just name the big ones, right? I don't struggle with that. How about hatred? The Bible speaks about that. How about you love people or don't love people? How about, I don't know, you name it, right? What's your thing? Something popped in your head as I started talking. Well, those aren't my thing, but my thing is, oh, crap. So what we find is this level playing field. We find this common ground, and we are all in an active process of life recovery. Who does Jesus say we are, right? How do we get to that point? How do we get there? And so this isn't just Alcoholics Anonymous, all right? This isn't just Narcotics Anonymous. This isn't just another group. This is us looking to God for how this plays out through Scripture. And Craig has done an incredible job of putting all of this together. We had a group of people that we know deal with recovery issues in life, and it ranges from everything and anything. And God put it on our hearts as leadership after I read the book and said, yeah, let's go that direction. Craig, you're a really smart guy. I don't often tell him that, but I need to probably more, right? We asked some other people, like four different people, whether they would be interested in praying about whether they should teach, and specifically teach through the steps of recovery. There are 12 steps, right? So we want them to teach through the 12 steps of recovery, but through Scripture. How does this play out? Through Jesus. And they said, we'll pray about it, and each of them took not only one teaching, but two teachings, three teachings, in this 12-week series. So you're going to hear a plurality of voices. You're going to hear a plurality of Jesus' stories of where he is at in this. And it's going to be incredible for you, right? So if you struggle with anything like I struggle with, pornography is a big thing. Martin Luther actually spoke to sexual temptation. Anybody know Martin Luther? Yeah, okay. Martin Luther spoke to this sexual temptation, and he said this: you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making nests in your hair. Right? You can't stop birds from flying overhead, but you can stop them from making nests in your hair. And some of us come today looking like this. That's Radagast the Brown from The Hobbit. Some of us come looking like this, but we think we're fooling other people and that we don't look like this, right? Not my hair. No birds in there. But we know better than that. We know everybody is in this process of life recovery. We know everybody where you're at. So let's drop the pretense. Can we do that? And let's lean into what Jesus has to say to us about how we recover our life through him. Deal? Craig Johnson can fill you in on the rest, and I'm just going to tap out. All right? You good?
Have a seat, Adam. I'll take it.
Can you handle
here.
It? All right, good.
Good morning. One of the things that, this is really hot, one of the things that I know to be true by personal experience is that I need to hear a thing a number of times before it settles in and registers with me. So some of what Adam talked about today, you're going to hear again in about 30 seconds. And you're going to hear about some of these things every week for the next, counting today, 14 weeks. Because the idea here is to let this stuff be more like a coat of stain than a coat of paint. Paint sits on the surface, dries up, flakes off, and it's gone. Stain soaks into the grain. It's beneath the skin level. That's what this stuff is about. The motivation for this series is basically discipleship. How many different ways have we talked about discipleship and community here? About chasing after Jesus, as it says on our website. About following Jesus together. Well, here's another way. There really is nothing new under the sun. And the 12 steps really aren't quite as original as some would have you think. So that's what I want to talk about. One of the first things I heard somebody say when they heard we were going to do this series was, oh great, another sermon series about sin. Well, is this a series about sin? Partly, yeah. But if that's all you think it is, then you are woefully and quite probably willfully mistaken. This is a sermon series about what to do about sin. So pretty much every sermon that you hear at Whitewater attempts to point you to a way of life, not just to some information. A way of life that God designed us for. He invites us to it. And one that God made entirely possible for every one of us. And some of us are plugging away at that. It's a beautiful mess, but we're making progress. That's life in the kingdom, right? That's community. But others are a little bit more like satellites, sort of orbiting around, held around the church by a certain gravitational pull, right? But never really breaking through the atmosphere and taking up residence in the kingdom. Discipleship, life recovery, is about that penetration through the atmosphere, coming out of the orbit and getting in there and living there. That's what we want to accomplish in this. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're new here, I can promise you that you will be disappointed at some point by me, by Adam, by somebody you talked to on Sunday that offended you. That's the nature of this beast. This beautiful beast of the body of Christ involves that part. So I'll just tell you right now, if you're thinking, well, this place will be different, the church won't hurt me here. Well, the church is made up of flawed people like me. And so chances are pretty good. At some point, you will take offense at something I said or something somebody says or does here. Here's another thing, though. At some point, every one of you is going to be the person doing the hurting. You're going to be the one doing the offending. You might not even realize it, but I guarantee you, you will. That, too, is the nature of life in the body. Thank God for grace. We need to give it, and we're going to need to get it. That book, Bridges to Grace, is kind of like that. It's teaching us whatever thing that you can see on the outside that might distinguish you from somebody else or me from you, we need grace. Because that's not the biggest thing about us. The biggest thing about us is our need for Jesus and our need for each other to follow him. So we're going to talk about the 12 steps. How many people here, by a show of hands, have familiarity with the 12 steps of recovery? Okay, I see a few hands, and that's good. But it's not necessary that you know about them. You don't have to have a history with them. because they're just tools. And there's a thing about these tools that's really cool. And we're going to make the connection in that, because this is not a series about the 12 steps. This is a series about the spiritual, scriptural, biblical principles that underlie each of the steps. So you're going to hear an awful lot about that. But I can also bet that there are some of you here that heard me say 12 steps and you went, well, this isn't about me. I can take 14 weeks off from church. You're missing it, if that's what you think. Because this isn't about the steps. This is about the common ground that we all share. There's a group that took the 12 steps and made slight modifications in the 12 steps for the purposes of Christians. For a Christ-centered recovery group, that group's called the National Association for Christian Recovery. And they made this statement that's kind of fascinating to me. Can you cut down the ring? I'm getting a lot up here. There's a fascinating statement that says, the 12 steps are best known, of course, as a collection of spiritual disciplines that have been helpful to people recovering from addictions, whether the addiction is to alcohol, drugs, work, food, sex, fixing other people, or to anything else. The 12 steps offer the building blocks for a saner, freer, more graceful way of life. If you struggle with one or more of these addictions, the 12 steps offer a spiritual path to the hope of freedom from addiction and the destructive trap that it is. You do not, however, need to be an addict to benefit from the 12 steps. The simple spiritual wisdom of the 12 steps can even be helpful if you don't struggle with an obvious addiction. We are all caught in fears, in defenses, in patterns of behavior that are hurtful to ourselves and to others. These things often play a role in our lives that are very much like addictions. For example, we do the same things over and over again, but expect a different result. And we often find that we're doing things that we really don't want to do, even things that we promised not to do. The Apostle Paul, one of the leaders of the early Christian community, talked about this dynamic when he said, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. That's from Romans. So whether you have an obvious addiction or, like the Apostle Paul, you struggle with the gap between your intentions and your actual behavior, the 12 steps offer building blocks for a life-changing spiritual awakening. And starting today, this is for us, starting today, you actually have the opportunity to make a lasting and meaningful course correction in the path that your life is taking. It is possible. You can change. I sometimes find that hard to believe about myself. I got stuff that's dogged me since childhood. Some of it hasn't changed yet, but I have hope, and so should you. You won't be alone doing that. That's the thing about community. That's the thing about this series. That's the thing about the small groups we do here at Whitewater. That's the thing about doing life together. That's the thing about showing grace, receiving grace. I think that's what the kingdom of heaven is meant to be. So as I said, life recovery, this common ground thing, life recovery, it equates to discipleship. And you've heard us talk about that a ton, even if we haven't talked about the 12 steps a ton. Discipleship we have. So life recovery is about reconciliation, being reconciled or brought back into alignment to the life God intends for us. And it's about restoration. The concepts of reconciliation and restoration suggest that something has been lost, right?
That's a big part of this picture. God had a purpose for us, a personal, individual, intimate relationship with each and every one of us. That was his purpose, but that was lost, wasn't it? Without exception, that has been lost. We've gotten out of step. Okay, I'm going to read a story in the Message version from Scripture, but this time I want you to think about who you are in this story. It's from Genesis. It's about the fall of mankind. So Genesis 3, 1 through 7. The serpent was more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman. Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, no, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it. Don't even touch it or you'll die. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. When the woman saw that tree looked good, looked like good eating, and realized what she'd get out of it, she'd know everything. She took and ate the fruit, then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. And this is the story of innocence lost. And every one of us played a part in this scene. In the story of the fall of man, we can see the original very good state of this relationship between God and mankind. Everything was as God intended. Their relationship was perfect. God had provided everything they needed and had given clear directions for how to live in harmony with him and with each other. It was perfect. But then sin slithered into the picture. The serpent introduced the idea of doubting God and distancing ourselves from him. He sowed the seeds of dissension and even suggested that God was holding out on them. That God just didn't want to let Adam and Eve be his wee equal, that he really didn't have their best interests at heart. And then the serpent, capitalizing on the opportunity, offered up the biggest temptation of all, to do whatever they wanted, to go their own way, to be God in their own lives. It's been downhill ever since, right? We've all insisted on being God in our own lives. That's a little G-God. Doing whatever we wanted to do, calling our own shots. Many of us have even gone so far as to deny that God even exists just so we can have his spot on the throne. So now we've come to that best definition of sin that I've ever heard. Sin is a fundamental relationship. It is not wrongdoing, but wrong being. It is deliberate and determined independence from God. Deliberate, intentional, purposeful, willful independence from God. You'll recognize Oswald Chambers, the source for that quote that was up there. We do Oswald Chambers readings every Wednesday morning here. Dude rocks, and the coffee's on, so there's a shameless plug for Wednesday mornings at 6:30 in the office. But this right here, this is our common ground. Because whether pornography or alcohol or drugs or food or sex or gambling or anything else is part of your story, you, like me, have been separated from God, deliberately and determinedly independent from God, insisting on occupying the throne. That's why we need recovery. This sermon isn't going to stop right here, because if it did, this would be a sermon about sin. We're going to talk about the solutions now. What's it going to look like? This is some of the repetition stuff. I'm going to describe some things about what you can expect in the 13 weeks after today, so you'll know what to expect. Everybody get a bulletin today? The stuff that's in the bulletin today about this sermon series and the steps and the scripture references to the steps, that's going to be in there every week for 13 more weeks. Love for you to read that. Maybe even when you're not here, take it home and read it. Take it home, look it up. Look up some of those scripture references. Let this soak in beyond the surface level. First thing I want to do is to look at growth, the concept of growth as a process, like a video, not a snapshot, all right? We've got some slides, these are kind of fun, some slides that depict the process of growth. That right there is what I would call the ideal for growth. Spiritual maturity, you can call it. Growing as a disciple, as a follower of Christ. Your vertical axis, you've got spiritual growth, maturity. The horizontal axis, you've got time. And as time goes further out, growth goes up. That's the ideal. That's not exactly how it plays in my world, but that is the ideal. So let's look at the next slide, which is the reality of growth. There are periods of time where it feels like we are making progress, and there are periods of time where we really aren't. That's more realistic, I think. There's another aspect to that slide, and that's how does it feel when you're doing that? So if we can have the next slide, I want you to look at that close. Because the line goes up, and in that first curly Q, you see where spiritual growth kind of flattens out, and then for a time it takes a plunge, doesn't it? It goes down. And then there's even a period of time where it looks like it's going backwards. And then you pull, out of the tailspin, and you get the ship righted again, and you get back on track. My life has been a series of those. But I want you to notice something about that, because when I am in that place where it's going down or feels like it's going backwards, I can get pretty discouraged. Anybody else relate to being discouraged? Yeah. Nothing's ever going to change. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because look what's happening. Despite all those curly cues, the arrow is higher than it was to begin with. God overcomes our weakness, our failings, our flaws, our stubbornness, and we grow in Him. That's our hope. Our hope isn't in how clever we are, how we grit our teeth and we force our way. That's not our hope. Our hope is right here, what God is doing. So in preparing for this message, I talked with Louise a little bit, my darling wife who plays keys a lot of Sundays up here. And she said, you know what my growth chart looks like? Let's put that one up. I thought that actually expresses it better than I could, so I'm just going to leave that right there. All right, now I want to get back to the series a little bit, and you can think about which one of those growth charts might suit you. For those of you who aren't familiar with the 12 steps, and that was a lot of us, I'm going to read through the steps with you. And you'll notice that you have the steps and scriptures in your bulletin, so you can look at those as we read it. But here's some background on the steps. The steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is what the National Association of Christians for Recovery changed a little bit. Those steps were first published in a book in 1939, and the book's title was Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's where AA groups got their name. It was from the title of that book. Before that, there weren't AA groups. The first AA members, Bill W. and Dr. Bob S., got acquainted when they were attending a Christian organization called the Oxford Groups. And these early AAs, based what they would turn into the 12 steps, on the six basic tenets of the Oxford Groups. Oxford Groups were a religious organization, and they drew those basic tenets right out of Scripture. So when somebody tells me that the 12 steps of recovery are not sourced in Christianity, I know they're wrong. I know where they came from. Here are the six tenets. 1, human beings are sinners. 2, human beings can be changed. 3, confession is a prerequisite to change. 4, the changed soul has direct access to God. 5, the age of miracles has returned. And 6, those who have been changed are to change others. Okay, now I'm going to read the 12 steps with the slight modifications from the NACR. And you're going to hear the overtones of the Oxford groups in these 12 steps, and you're going to hear the scriptural echoes. 1, we admitted we were powerless over our separation from God, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, the only changes in all of that, all 12 of those steps, one of them is in the first step. When it was originally written, it said, powerless over alcohol. It was changed to powerless over separation from God, which applies to everybody. And in the 12th step, instead of carrying this message to alcoholics, it's carrying the message to others. Those changes make these 12 steps apply to every single person in this room right now. This is a little bit of a preview of what we're going to be discussing. You're going to hear from a number of people. Like Adam said, I think we have 3 or 4 besides Adam and I that we'll share on a given step during the course of this process, and some multiple steps. The thing about these steps that I really hope people will make the connection on is that it's the scriptural source of the steps that applies to everybody here. And that's where the authority for this comes. This doesn't come from the creation of man, it comes from the inspired word of God. And that's where the power is, and that's where the hope is. And that's why your bulletins have scripture references with every step. And there are a lot more scripture references over the course of these weeks. You can be thinking about passages of scripture from your own personal scripture reading that also fit these principles, because by golly, there's an awful lot more there than just the couple three that we listed. There's another thing that's really important, whether we're talking about the 12-step program or going to church. Discipleship, life recovery, is a lifelong process. Think video, not snapshot, right? The 12 steps are not a one and done kind of thing. You don't work through the steps, there, done with that, and then back to business as usual. One of the Proverbs talks about like a dog returning to its vomit, so is a fool returning to his folly. This is a process that doesn't stop. These are pragmatic and practical tools for living as a disciple of Jesus. And that won't stop. That's a lifelong deal. Now, for simplicity's sake, I want to make a couple of groupings that the National Association for Christian Recovery did that might make this big picture of all these 12 kind of confusing, nebulous steps. They put them in four basic groups, stages of growth in the 12 steps. Stage one is peace with God. And it's talking about the first three steps, laying the foundations for our peace and our relationship with God. Powerlessness, restoration to sanity, making that decision to turn our will and our lives over to God's care, peace with God. Stage two is peace with ourselves. There are four steps in stage two, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Those steps are ones where we get honest with ourselves, we take an inventory, we right some wrongs as best we can. We stop blaming. We stop denying and minimizing what we've done. And we call on God to help us with it. The third stage is our, and that's the peace with ourselves stage. The third stage is our peace with others. And that comes with those making the list of who we've harmed. And when we can, righting the wrong. Owning our stuff. Remember that sermon series from a while back? Owning it. That's what this is. And then the ongoing process in the 10th step continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, own it. The last stage is keeping the peace. That's in those last two steps. 11th step, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. In the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening, because something will happen for you in this process, this will become a way of life. And you won't selfishly be like those people that were rescued from the Titanic that crawled into a lifeboat and were so happy to be there, they just drifted away. Oh, thank God you saved me. While all those other people were still in the water, drowning. This isn't just about you. Confession time. I took my last drink on April 22nd, 1981. And I want you to know that it is only by the grace of God and the 12-step recovery process that I can be standing in front of you today. Some of you know my story. I didn't come to know Jesus until 2001. So wait. God's grace was available to me before I even knew him? Romans 5:8, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did it for all of us, people. Wherever you're at in this process, it's done. It is finished. But you know what? Jesus' death on the cross is wasted on your life if you don't receive it. I practiced the principles of recovery, the 12 steps, for over 20 years in AA before I became a Christian. And one of the things I realized was that if all I did was get sober, it was like going out of the frying pan, the consequences of active alcoholism, but right into the fire. Physically sober, but the fires of hell for eternity if I didn't get to know Jesus. And that's how it happens that I went beyond this nebulous, undefined, unnamed God that was enough to help me get started, but not enough for my eternity. That's how it happened. That's my story. God wants the very best for every one of us. So whether you have one of these marquee, high-profile, everybody sees it, obvious kinds of addictive behavioral things, or you're just miserable and hateful and unforgiving and self-concerned and greedy and lazy, I'm reading my own list here. This is still for us, for all of us. And that's why we're doing this sermon series. And that's ultimately what this is about. This is a discipleship. This is a following Jesus sermon series. Nothing new under the sun. This is what it is to be reconciled to God and restored to that right standing, that right being relationship with God that he intended for us.
So Craig was kind enough to include me in his teaching. If you look at the notes we have, it's a bracket, and it says, Adam, intro remarks, and then Craig, and then at the very bottom it said, Adam, closing remarks and prayer, which usually means the pastor comes up and cleans up anything that's unclear.
Damage control.
Damage control. That doesn't need to happen. What I find beautiful about all of this process is my issues with pornography, it was addiction. Very much so, and I stumbled through all of these things, all of these steps, without even knowing what was going on. I didn't go through a recovery program because there was shame at the bottom of that. I had to look good, right? Even though I had bird feces dripping down my hair, and I wasn't fooling anybody, I thought I had to look good. I thought I had to just put on airs. You know, I'm pretty fancy. I thought I had to do that to save myself, save face, those kinds of things. And then once God started breaking that down, I realized I couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't hide in that shadow anymore. I couldn't hide in this facade. I couldn't be this. And then all of a sudden, God started changing me. And as I read through these books and I read through the 12 steps, I said, this is exactly how my process happened without me even understanding it. And the problem with doing it alone and not understanding it is you're doing it alone. That's not Whitewater's way. If you avail yourself to that community, this community, if you say yes to this community, you do this with each other. You do this with one another. And it's insanely beautiful. There's going to be things as we do this together that we're going to see in each other, and we're going to say, I wish I didn't know that about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. But I love you. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep moving forward. Do you believe you can change? I love the six tenets. It doesn't say you can change. It says you can be changed by an outside force. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're all looking to during this series. So I want you to be listening to Jesus. I want you to be listening for the Holy Spirit's voice. If there's people that need to be invited to this relentlessly every week, whether they turn you down or not, that need this series, because it's obviously not you. You don't need this, but other people you might know, you might have friends that do, parents, you know, people that really need to hear this message, man, be faithful to that. Be faithful to the invite process. Even if they shut you down, keep it up. Keep inviting them. But also be, you personally, be faithful to that invite process through the Holy Spirit. What is he telling you during this series? What is he telling you in this change? What is he telling you in this life recovery series? Be faithful to that, because you can be changed.
Hallelujah.
Change is possible for you. There's hope here, people.
Yes.
I said all that to say, God, thanks for this day. Thank you for this series. Thank you for these people that you've given us here today. Thank you for people that have come that might be new. Thank you for people that might not come back again because they don't want to hear this. God, you'll catch up with them. It's okay. It's okay. God, put it on our hearts, people that might need to hear this message, that we would invite here to be a part of this with us. But God, may we go a step further and actually do this in community with them.
Yes.
That they wouldn't be swinging in the wind, that we wouldn't be swinging in the wind. God, help us to drop pretense. Help us to drop the facade of who we want people to think we are. And let us just be who we are.
Yes.
That we may be ready for your change. God, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said.
Amen.